This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey man,
it's good to have you listening on a Tuesday. Lots of stuff going on around the NFL, certainly with our Falcons, as Leonard Floyd was introduced to the press today. He came on Andy and Randy, full interviews online at Odyssey.com, and we'll tell you more about our thoughts there. Mike, as we get into, you know, what's going on around the league, everybody's gearing up for the draft. Yesterday was a big pro day. We'll continue to count them down as, you know, right. Shador's going to have his, and Cam Ward had his yesterday. He is the potential number one overall pick. Titans have the first pick in this year's draft. And listen, they were impressed with Ward. Why wouldn't they say anything else, Mike? They're right. Trying to create some leverage for other teams to go, wow, they really like him, huh? Mm-hmm. Maybe we need to go move and try to go get him. Of course they're going to say they like him. They're going to say they like him a whole lot because if you're a team that wants a quarterback and you want to go make a deal with the Titans, they said they're open for business. But it's going to cost you a lot to make a deal. I just don't know, Mike, if this solidifies – him being the number one pick, as he thought he said yesterday, or at least, you know, he said that he was, that was his message for the Titans. And I want to play that again, Orn, for our listeners, because afterwards he was talking to my buddy Brian Baldinger about this, and he said, you know, I think I just solidified me being the number one pick.
Uh-huh.
Do you think he's the number one pick in this year's draft?
It really comes down to, you know, how their scouts and how Tennessee looks at it. He said some good things about the coach, talked about when he was an assistant at Cincinnati, how he helped Joe Burrow. And I mean, I know that I'm not saying that, you know, it's not like, I'm not saying that you got a pea shooter when it comes to Shador Sanders on his arm, but I just think Cam Ward has a stronger arm.
Okay.
You know, but I think I watched a lot of Cam Ward because I was always rooting for Miami to lose, and he would always dig a big hole, or not him, generally the team, or they'd be coming out flat defensively, and then he would just turn it on and did some real Superman stuff for Miami. Mm. You know, and I mean, the guy was really clutch. I mean, I was jealous because Florida State got outbid for him by Miami, and the guy was really worth it. He was worth every penny Miami paid him. So Shador Sanders, conversely, had to run for his life because he had no offensive line. I do think that the ball comes out quicker with Ward, and I think Sanders, you're going to have to coach him up to get the ball out faster.
I think Shador felt like he had to make plays, and he held on to it too long. I agree. I think he is, on my board, the top quarterback. We don't know if he'll be taking one or not. Mm. He won't end up past the top five, for sure, in my opinion, Mike, when you start talking about how this thing's going to shake out. Right. But the idea that Shador has somehow taken a hit after the season is over and everybody says he's not that good or he's not as good as advertised, I think it's hot air. As far as Cam Ward, this is what he said his message was for the Titans after they watched him yesterday.
I say not only showing them, but every other team just throwing on rhythm, whether it's three steps on rhythm, five steps on rhythm for under in the gun, heavy play action, you know, gun five with movement outside the pocket, just showing them all, you know, under center stuff that I didn't get to show as much during the season, letting them know that I'm capable of it. Because at the end of the day, the NFL is not playing under center all the time. They're in the gun, but you got to be able to do it. And so that was the main focus for me. And then other than that, it was just making it all about my receivers, trying to throw them catchable balls, make sure not have balls hit the ground. We had a couple. But at the end of the day, you ain't going to be perfect. You always got stuff to get better at.
Look, the pro day is great. It is tailored for you to be successful.
Right. You're talking to your guys in a controlled environment.
You should look really good. Zach Wilson looked really good a few years ago.
Oh, God, yes.
And the Jets took him high in the draft. It was a mistake. And, Mike, my point is the pro day is one element of the makeup of a player. Just like you can't go to the combine and go, that guy's a beast and we're going to draft him. There's so many other things that make up whether or not a player is going to be successful in the NFL. So I'm not overzealous when it gets to these pro days. I like the fact that you get a chance to, you know, exploit your arm and all the things that make you a great quarterback. But I also know it's built to have you look really good.
Well, that's it. I mean, part of the reason these guys will not throw at the combine is you're throwing to a bunch of wide receivers you've never met before, and you don't know if how they, you know, where they were going to break and how they anticipate your throw. Whereas, you know, he's only there a year at Miami, but he's got a bunch of receivers in Miami that caught practice balls from him all year. And so you trust them better. But I'm with you. I get that the pro day has become a little overvalued in the minds of maybe the fans. The scouts know what the guy is. They've got the game. Whatever happened to freaking game tape? That
Correct.
Drives me crazy.
Correct.
Watch the game tape. Who pooped the bed? Who had the ability to put a team on his back? To me, that's Cam Ward. I think that Shedeur Sanders did the same thing in different situations. I think sometimes, you know, there was some glaring weaknesses on that offensive line more so than you saw at Miami, which maybe that. But again, the pros will know that. They'll know that you don't like Shedeur Sanders because you don't like his dad. You don't like Shedeur Sanders. You don't like the swag, right? And to me, you want a quarterback, the toughest position in the NFL. I want a guy who comes in with some confidence. And when Baker Mayfield had swag, that was fine. But what's wrong with this kid's swag, right?
I agree. 404-726-0929. Browns hold the number two pick. They were there also at the pro day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, who's not going to be? Anybody that has one of those top picks who potentially may move to go get some of these guys, depending on where they land. But, you know, Joe Shane was there from the Giants. Of course he's going to be there. Like, this is no surprise right. That these teams are represented at his pro day. But I'm not poo-pooing Cam Ward. I think he's a really talented player. I think he may be the best quarterback. For me, I've got Shedeur on my – because, again, when you have the highest completion percentage, Mike, and the worst offensive line in college football, and you were sacked triple the amount of times that this dude was – You're showing me a lot more as a player with the wherewithal and the character that you have. That's what Shedeur had to endure. Cam had a little bit easier. And here's the other thing. When you start talking about, you know, it's not about their teams going to the playoffs. Just go look at their numbers. Go look at how they played in certain situations, to Mike's point, and then you decide. I'm not going to decide whether I'm drafting him based on his pro day. And that's the thing that I want to get across. And even if Shedeur had a great pro day, I wouldn't be telling you that just based on that. I think the body of work to me is more important than you throwing to right. your guys for 30 minutes and making yourself look really good.
I mean, it's not like either one of these guys would be considered a dual threat. You know, Cam Ward rushed for 200 yards for Miami when he had to. We'd pick like kind of like how, you know, we've seen quarterbacks like what we get with Michael Penix Jr. Pick him up when he needs to, yep. You know, move the chains. But Shedeur Sanders was negative 50 yards rushing, which goes back to sometimes he would make a bad decision worse by doubling back. And taking some sacks. So, again, but that's fixable. I think it's fixable. I mean, guys, there's been a lot of, you know, quarterbacks that had some funky habits that were able to get worked through. I mean, you know, Brett Favre made terrible decisions. That's part of the reason. Some of those decisions were involving nightlife and Buckhead, but part of the reason the Falcons, obviously one of the greatest stupid moves in history, moved on from him because they just thought he was too much of a gunslinger, you know, just too much of a risk taker.
This is what's interesting. Like, so yesterday they were saying, hey, he completed 25 straight completions. Well, I would hope so. There's no DBs out there.
But what media dork is getting excited about that?
Well, that's what I'm saying. This is the stuff that you have to deal with. And Big O just said, by the way, the Titans have now they want a private workout with Cam Ward. So they're going to schedule a private workout with
him.
Are
you going to dim the lights and maybe set the mood?
But Mike,
I'm your private dancer.
Yeah. Dancer for money. They also said that he completed 64-62 passes to receivers running routes. Why wouldn't he?
I mean, you're throwing against air to guys you played with all year. I mean, that's why some of these guys, this is the stuff. They're like, remember Zach Wilson? He threw a ball 70 yards. How many times are you have a chance to do that in the NFL?
He didn't. He's never had a chance to
Come on.
All right, man. Your thoughts are welcome as we talk about this. As far as the Falcons, let's talk about Leonard Floyd. Where are you at, Mike? He introduced himself today. He says, I want to be the smoking gun, talking about the pass rush.
Right.
He described that as saying going out and proving that he has to show it, but obviously he's discussing third down. Third and longs, he wants to be a difference maker, and he certainly wants to get after the quarterback.
I mean, he's an OG, man. We played the interview. It's online at Odyssey.com. You hear what Andy Rande got out of him. I mean, he's a dude that has been a solid piece everywhere he's been in the NFL. As we mentioned, Raheem Morris knows what he can get out of him. And as we said, yes, maybe as you brought this up, you know, initially when we first made the signing, a little bit of hesitation because the Judon thing just blew up in our face. But I think this guy is just a steady dude, and he's 32. He's actually older than Judon, but I think you look at the Calais Campbell and feel maybe he could be some of that. Give us some of that.
Yeah. So let me ask you this.
We had no expectations for him either.
No. But this is the kind of stuff that we talk about when the season rolls around and you go, who's responsible for signing him? Ryan Pace was with the Bears when they drafted him, and he played for Raheem.
It's a general manager who took a former first-round pick of his and brings him back. Scott Pioli did the same thing.
Okay.
So when he was here. He's a former Kansas City Chief number one picks and brought them back here. That's what guys do.
Okay. So do you think those guys suggested to our general manager that we take a chance on?
I think they certainly had some input.
I agree. And if it works, are you going to give Terry credit? If it doesn't work, are we killing Terry? Well, because that's the thing right. that happens in these situations, Mike. This wasn't Terry randomly on the phone going, yeah, let's go sign Leonard Floyd. This was, again, what's the word they use? What's the word that we always get tired of hearing up there? Collaboration?
Yeah, collaboration.
This was a collaboration. And when it happens this way, this is the kind of stuff that they're talking about. I'm not defending it. What I'm telling you is if Floyd works, right, then you're going to go, man, that's a hell of a pickup. If it doesn't, Terry screwed up when Terry was being advised, hey, by guys who know him, to go get him.
Well, remember, part of the reason Terry got the job, I mean, the way it was explained to us at the time was he's a guy who's going to find diamonds in the rough, and for a team that is just so jammed up with the cap hits like we were because of, you know, paying off Julio and Matt's, you know, all that nonsense of kicking the can down the road, that's what made him an attractive general manager. He's always been really good at finding value in free agency. So, like I said, Bud Dupree and Calais Campbell, those were hits. That worked. You know, we had a bunch of guys in some real no-name defense, man.
They did.
That he had to try to, you know, augment as best he could. So I'm okay with it. I mean, to me, I'm just more concerned about how he's neglected defense for flashy offensive pieces and, you know, and also being a little too cute with some of his defensive picks like, you know, Troy Anderson. So that's where my beef, whenever I get into that, my rants about our problems we've had and not just getting the quality we need with high draft picks, that's where my beef is more with Terry than free agency.
I think we are going to go into this offseason and certainly into the season with big question marks about a class that we still don't know how good they are.
Right.
And that's last year's class.
I'm
talking about on the defense.
You don't know what Trice is. We think we know what a row is, but you're right. Dorless, we've got to wait and see. And I just mentioned Anderson. He's played 9 games the last 2 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I got to imagine that they believe in their, they got guys here. We just got to be able to keep these guys healthy, get them on the field.